You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and I want to welcome you to day three here in Indianapolis. My co-host, Nicholas Moriano, and I, we are excited to catch you up on today's position groups, the defensive line and linebacker. And even though the defense is the strength of the Bears team, you know, it doesn't mean that they're not doing their homework here on these positions. And actually, after talking to a handful or so of these players, I think we can say that the Bears are really doing their homework when it comes to one position in particular. But before we get into all that, Nick, it's been a lot of fun getting to, of course, work alongside you here for the last couple of days. And I feel like every time we do get to do this, we get to learn a little bit more about one another. Like last night, I found out you've never had a shrimp cocktail before until dinner. Earlier today, I learned that you don't like oatmeal too much. You are one of those freaks that eat pre-shelled pistachios, which I don't understand why. I don't know what the fun is in eating a pre-shelled pistachio. I don't know. Maybe I'm too fixated on food. Maybe it's lunchtime. We did skip it to come due to this podcast. But sticking on this topic of food, I'm still thinking about that dinner last night, Harry's and Izzy's. Are you in the same boat as me, still dreaming about that steak we had?
That may have been the best steak I've ever had there, Will. It just melted in your mouth when you ate it. And then also the shrimp cocktail, I've never experienced. What was it in? Horseradish?
Yeah.
That was intense. That was weird, but I just wanted more of it. Like, you told me that, and I just found myself wanting to eat more of it. But, yeah, that was a great dinner. I'm glad that you were able to, you know, share that with me. The word special was being thrown around in that restaurant a lot. It was special for sure.
It really was, and like you said, shrimp cocktail was really good. I'm actually allergic to shrimp, and I had to have a couple bites myself. Don't tell them there. They may be a little upset at me because they went through a lot of precaution to make sure there was no cross-contamination, but I took a bite anyway. I'm still alive, so I feel pretty good about that, but let's go ahead and get back to the combine here, Nick, and I think our listeners and viewers would love to kind of hear some of the behind-the-scenes items that we've been able to kind of just stumble across throughout the Indiana Convention Center over these past couple of days. And, you know, we've seen, I think it was yesterday, where players record their draft promo videos. It's like the videos where when a player gets drafted, it's like that stock footage almost of a player in a jumpsuit with the NFL logo behind them. They're either twirling a football, like that area. We've seen that earlier this morning on our way up to the media room. We saw the EA room. So where they're getting these players ready for Madden, which I'm confused. If they're already doing it now, the graphics should be way better by the time the season rolls around for some of these rookies, because those are never, unless you're like the top five pick, those are never really overly perfect. But we've also walked past, and I think most importantly, some of these informal interviews. You want to let our listeners know, you know, what these kind of look like and feel like? Because as for me, from our perspective in the past, I never understood what an informal versus a formal means. And I think we understand that informal literally is pretty informal.
Yeah, basically you find a spot, an open spot, wherever in this convention center, and then depending on who the team is or the coaches, you'll talk football. What we saw earlier this morning, there was a prospect and a team, and they had a playbook out there, likely going through what, you know, the requirements are for the position, what you would do on a specific play, and just kind of getting insight on what about the player and like what their football IQ is. And that's going around all over the place in this convention center. But literally, you find a spot, you talk, just to get to know the prospect a little bit more.
Yeah, I never understood what informal meant in terms of, is it, you know, and still in a room? What's it look like? And like you said, you're literally sitting on a bench here, you know, media, other coaches, front office personnel, social media people, just walking right on by and, yeah, just picking their brain. And we'll see exactly, you know, what that means for some of these players in the future. But for the Bears' sake, I know I was able to diagnose a few informal, you know, interviews today for the Bears, and you were able to actually get a lot of these formal interview requests, because I think they get 45 of those.
Yes. That, yep.
So it went down from 60 to last year, so to 45 now.
So they get 45. I know you're able to find out a handful of those. And I know the topic and the name of this episode already gives it away, but since you were the one that was striking some serious gold today during the media availability, do you want to let people know which position the Bears are putting a heavy focus on during their research?
Yeah, so a lot of the focus, as it should be, is on the edge prospects, those outside linebacker positions. So I was just going around listening to obviously what each of these guys had to say, but also wondering, well, had they met with the Bears, formally or informal? Yader Gross-Matos from Penn State, that was he formally met with the Bears. Jonathan Grenard has met with the Bears informally at the Combine here, and then also met with them at the Senior Bowl, but he said a lot of his formal meetings were actually tomorrow. I would think that the Bears are probably going to go and look into him as well. And then you also had Ke'Lavon Chaisson, who has formally met with the Bears. He's, you know, projected to be a high-round, first-round draft pick. So Bears still doing their homework there and checking in on these edge prospects because there's not a lot of depth at the position, and they're just making sure that they're doing their homework.
Exactly. And there's some later round prospects that had some informal interviews with the team as well, and we'll touch on those in a minute. Before we actually talk about edge, which is going to be the primary focus of today's episode, do you want to just start with defensive line real quick? We don't have a lot on that position. It was a difficult one for us to kind of, you know, look into ahead of time because it's a unit of strength for this Bears team, and I don't know if they would use some of this draft capital that they have on a defensive lineman, but they may. And I'll go ahead and begin with one that I had the opportunity to kind of listen to, and that's Marlon Davidson. His last two seasons, he had 11 sacks, 16 tackles for a loss. Looking at his body, he's 6'3", 297. And what I know of him, he's very good at block shedding. He's really good using his power to his advantage. He's not the quickest guy, most athletic, but I do think his combination of skills is interesting to Chicago. He could fit in that five tech, like where Roy Robinson Harris is, or Bilal Nichols, or maybe an eventual Akeem Hicks replacement type of guy. Unfortunately for us, Davidson's a second to third round grade, so I don't think he would fit right where the Bears are, because I think there's bigger needs, of course, to kind of take with these picks. But talking to him, I know he made a good joke saying, you know, I line up at a one tech, a zero tech, I'd line up outside, heck, I'd play the tight end if a team asked me to, whatever, you know, I can do a little bit of everything, which he did at Auburn as well. But like I said, DE, it's not the biggest need. Hicks isn't getting any, you know, younger, so that is something that the Bears may need to look on later on. So that's why I don't know if Davis is a great fit. I didn't get a lot of time, but I did like his demeanor, his attitude. And I know he had another interesting quote that a lot of people liked was, when I go out there, football's the area where I can go out there and constantly abuse a man, beat up on a guy without a threat, you know, of the cops coming down my way. So one of those quotes that you only get here at the NFL Combine. But when it comes to the defensive line, Marlon Davidson is someone that I was able to kind of listen to and kind of stuck with me. Everyone else, though, at least from my perspective, I know you have one as well, kind of just blended in together, and it's like I was just kind of trying to take in some of these stories. I know you have a story as well, but yeah, this one was so far out of all the positions we've kind of had the opportunity to interact with.
Yeah.
Defensive line was the toughest one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously there's like these top-end guys that, like a Derrick Brown and stuff like that, not worth listening in, but you know the Bears are realistically not going to look at a player like that. A guy that I listened in on was Raekwon Williams, 6'4", 300-pound defensive lineman out of Michigan State, and the only reason I went over there is because I heard the word Chicago. I'm like, okay, let me look him up. His hometown is from Chicago, and the story with him is that he almost stepped away from football because he actually lost his younger brother and his cousin to shootings back in his hometown, and there just wasn't enough positive role models in his family's life at the time, enough men that can really, you know, just be the focal point of the family. So he ended up still going to Michigan State to play the sport that he loves, obviously, but that was just an interesting story to hear from him, and I got to ask him a question, obviously, being, you know, from the Chicagoland area, I asked him what it's like. What message would you give to kids who are in those kind of situations? And he's like, you know what, just kind of stay positive, work hard. Things will get better. You know, maybe Raekwon Williams would be a story that you can tell people, those kids that are in those areas, that he's someone that you can embody, can have that mindset to get out of something like that. But again, just an interesting story in general. He did meet with the Bears at the East-West Shrine Game, so the Bears obviously did some homework on him, but just an interesting story. And there's a lot of guys like this, and that's why it's interesting to talk to the players that are not being as heavily scouted or, you know, coveted by these NFL teams. But that was just one that I wanted to highlight here.
Any other defensive linemen that you had to share any insight on today? That's all I had was my one. How about you?
Same here, just the one guy, Raekwon Williams.
Doesn't matter because the Bears are doing their homework at another position, like we mentioned, and that is, of course, at edge. And I guess I'll just begin with my favorite prospect of the day, and that is Ladarius Hamilton. The only reason I knew about him was our writer, our draft guy, Steve Letizia, in his last article, had him as a sleeper pick. He's from North Texas, not a lot of film on him. You don't know a lot about this guy. And I was like, I noticed his podium was a little empty. There's only a few people there. I was like, I want to check him out. So I walk up there, and first thing I asked was, hey, have you met with the Bears? And he said, yeah, it was informal, but it went really, really well. And I was like, that's interesting. And he was talking about how he loves to come off the edge, and he doesn't mind a double or a triple team, which, of course, when you think of double or triple teams on edge, my mind went Khalil Mack. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Ladarius, like, how would you feel if you had an opportunity to sit there and learn from Khalil Mack? And he was gushing at the thought of it. Ladarius was, you know, very vocal about how great he thinks Khalil Mack is. He says, in his opinion, he is one of the best out there right now, which I think that's an easy opinion for most of us to have, but still wanted to let you know that that's how high he thinks of Khalil Mack. He said he would always be kind of taking notes, always kind of peeking over a little bit at see what Mack's doing, wanting to learn from him in every way possible. And I kind of love that attitude, that mindset. But it's always fun to, like, mention, like, a Khalil Mack to some of these guys. And mm-hmm. Of course, for them, it's a real opportunity to where they may get to have that chance. And he really seemed like he would love an opportunity like that. And he did reiterate afterwards, like, yeah, that meeting with the Bears went really, really well. And then off the field, I asked him, so what kind of guy are you off the field? And he, again, his personality is so bubbly. I wish he had an opportunity to meet him. But he's saying, you know, I'm a relaxed guy. I just like to hang out with friends, go to the arcade, do some bowling. And I was like, what's your bowling score? And he's like, oh, no, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it at all. And I was like, I'm not either. I average maybe like a 110, 115. He's like, I'm lucky if I get 90. And I was like, well, bumpers up, right? He's like, oh, always got to have those bumpers up. But on the field, he's mentioned he's a hard worker, he's a leader, and honestly, like I said, he was just someone that really stuck out to me for his personality, his work ethic, his attitude, and he's someone right now, he's a late-round kind of flyer type of prospect, but he is someone that I think the Bears may be interested in. He's someone that I want to do more research on, mm-hmm. someone I actually want to reach out to, see if we can bring him a podcast. He's like that kind of personality as well, but just wanting to, for a production standpoint, his last two seasons at North Texas, he had 15 sacks and 21.5 tackles for a loss. Kind of played all over, but like he said, he loves to play coming off the edge in a stand-up position, and he may be a good developmental long-term kind of prospect at edge for the Bears. But how about you? I hand the mic over. Who's an edge prospect that you were able to talk to and some story behind that?
Yeah, so I was able to talk to Florida edge rusher Jonathan Grenard, and just to tell you a little bit about him, he's a guy that definitely the Bears I think are interested in. Like I said earlier in the podcast, they have met with him informally at the Senior Bowl, and then he has a bunch of formal meetings on tomorrow, so we'll see if the Bears are one of them. But Grenard, what he was kind of saying in his interview there is that he wants to prove to a lot of teams that he is an athlete. There's this stigma that he's not. He played running back and wide receiver when he was in high school. Then he hit a growth spurt and eventually had to go to the defensive side of that edge position. But he says that competing in the linebacker drills, being able to show that he can flip his hips and run, you know, efficiently, is how he'll be able to prove that, hey, look, I'm not just a powerful guy that has a bull rush. I can work, you know, efficiently in pass coverage, which he did at Florida. He was a stand-up guy. That's what he kept on saying throughout. He's versatile. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can be on the edge there, stand up position, and rush the quarterback. He said that his favorite hit, which I definitely agree with, if you watch the Florida State film, there's this hit where you're like, I'm surprised this isn't flagged because of how vicious it was. But he also said that, you know, I'm glad I was able to make that hit and it was legal. So it was kind of funny that he was talking about that. But he also feels that he can fit in any system, so it doesn't matter if he's a 4-3 outside linebacker, if an edge or a 3-4 outside linebacker. It doesn't matter. He feels that he is able to play effectively in any position that he's put in. And then I also asked him because yesterday Kentucky guard Logan Stenberg said that Grenard was the toughest guy that he's ever played against. And then I told him about that, and I asked him, why do you think you're so tough to block? And basically Grenard said that it's just because his mentality. He doesn't take playing football for granted because he did miss the whole entire 2018 season with a wrist injury. So he goes out there playing football like it's his last down, like it's his last game. So he doesn't take it for granted. He doesn't like to lose. And you could see that in his game, just a pursuit player. Even if it's on the backside, you're going to see Grenard going and chasing after a ball carrier. But he's a ferocious player on the field. He's actually a homebody off the field. He says if he's not playing football, he's like, I'm staying home. I'm taking a nap. I'm a homebody. And I thought that was interesting. So Grenard, again, a guy that the Bears did meet with in two forms here in this offseason process, but I expect them to also make a formal interview sometime soon.
Yeah, no, he seems like a really interesting prospect, a really good player, and of course seems like a pretty neat person off the field as well. I mean, low-key kind of guy. I mean, you know, he's not a big personality, but he has confidence.
Absolutely.
And that's always a good combination to have as well. Looking at my list, someone else that I know you were around for just a little bit, but I stuck around for a little bit more, was Bradley Anae. He's an edge guy out of Utah. He did have an informal meeting with the Chicago Bears. He did finish with 30 sacks, which was a school record at Utah as well. His 40 tackles for a loss was fourth, ranked in their all-time program history, but his tackles for a loss yards, which is forget the exact number, but I know that was the most in school history as well. So he's someone that's really in the backfield all the time in Utah. I know his dad played college football. His uncle played college football. I think his uncle's actually an offensive coach at BYU, if I remember correctly. So football runs huge in this family. One thing that you and I both noticed, though, he's really soft-spoken. Yeah, he's someone where, like, I was like, we started interviewing. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I thought it was just more murmuring of, like, media people. But, no, he was up there with a microphone. It was still a little bit hard to hear. One story I was able to kind of get through to my ears, though, he was talking about he's comfortable swimming with sharks.
Yeah.
Which took me by surprise. I mean, you never expect to hear that whatsoever. But, yeah, he's fine with swimming with sharks in the ocean as long as it's not a tiger shark. He says stay away from a tiger shark. When they're hungry, they can't tell the difference between a turtle and a human. So he'll never get in the water, or he tries not to get in the water when there are tiger sharks around. But he is known for his high motor, his intensity. Looking at his draft profile, his scouting report, they do say that he does lack some of these physical gifts. He was asked about that, and he said he thinks he has more than he's been able to show, that he thinks actually goes a little bit underrated. So it's something to kind of keep on in the combine, see if that holds true or if he does rank, you know, average in all these athletic tests. But I don't know if this is fair to Anae or not, because he had a prolific career at Utah. But I get a little weary of getting guys out of Utah when I think of Kylie Fitz.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It's an easy one to forget, but again, it's probably not fair to him at all. You know, Fitz obviously did not pan out, and I know Fitz had his own issues with injuries throughout his collegiate career as well. Anae's been healthy, and yeah, I'll see exactly how that kind of works out, but Anae, he did have an informal meeting with the Bears. Didn't get to learn a lot about him. Very soft-spoken, kind of a little bit brief in his responses. At least we got to find out. He met with the Bears, though, and he likes to swim with sharks. But interesting story. But how about you? We're passing the buck again. Next edge guy.
Yeah, so the next guy that I kind of want to highlight here is LSU edge rusher Kalevon Chaisson. I just thought, just listening to him, he's just very well-spoken and knows how to articulate his answers. He did say he was the most valuable player in this draft. And he's like, the reason why is, like, I can speak three languages. And those three languages are rush the passer, drop back in coverage, and play the run. But how, I mean, that's one, just a great answer to give. And, you know, I think as teams will look at that, like, okay, here's a confident guy, but it's just an interesting way of approaching that. He also wore the number 18 at LSU. And what's significant about that, that's given to, you know, players over the years who show high character. And it was Kalevon Chaisson and also center Lloyd Cushenberry, who's also in this draft class, that wore that number. So it kind of just tells you the person that he is. And he was telling us a story, or, you know, a couple of stories, that whenever he's in just Baton Rouge or sees, like, a homeless person, he's like, more times than not, I'm just going to go buy food and just give that to that person. He doesn't do it for, you know, the media attention or anything. Like, there's no cameras involved. He just feels like he's a good person, wants to give back to people who are not as fortunate. So that kind of just shows, like, who he is as a person. And also, that's the reason he's playing football. He just genuinely loves the game. He's not doing it for the money, the fame, or any of the recognition like that. He loves playing football. And one of the stories that he's been hearing, or rumors, is that he only started playing when he was in high school. Well, that's not true. He didn't play 1 year due to an injury, but he's been playing football his entire life. So he said right here, right now, we're going to stop that rumor. I've been playing football my entire life. But I think those are just the answers that he gave and how confident he presented himself with, I think is just something that, one, the Bears obviously are looking at because they did have a formal meeting with him, and he's a guy that can do it all. He kind of reminds me of a Leonard Floyd being able to drop back in coverage, but also at Georgia he was able to get to the pass rusher. I think that Kalyvon Chaisson is that guy. Despite only having 9 sacks in his 3 years there, he says that obviously there's other ways to impact the game, and he kept telling the media, go check the tape. Go check the tape. Not in like an ignorant way or anything like that, sure. But his game is impacting, or he's impacting the game in other ways. It's just not in the sack total numbers.
Is he someone that you do see being a pretty decent fit if the Bears can find a way to, you know, draft him and bring him in? Because obviously with those 3 languages that you mentioned, I would love to have all 3 out of, you know, one of our new edge guys on this team.
Yeah, I think whatever edge prospect the Bears, you know, do draft, which I think they're getting in this draft, they have to be versatile. And I think Kalyvon Chaisson would definitely fit that mold. Like I said, he is projected to be a top round talent, first round. Yeah. So the Bears don't pick until number 43 in the second. If he were to somehow slide, I don't think the Bears are going to give up draft capital to go get him. There's no question I think the Bears would take a guy like that.
Thoughts about them actually using one of those limited formal interviews, though, and a guy that's potentially or definitely looks to be out of reach?
You know, I think that does say something about what the Bears are kind of doing here. Even the next person I'm going to talk about, Yader Gross-Matos, they used a formal interview on him. He's supposed to be maybe bottom first, early second. But to see it on Kalyvon Chaisson, you never know. Because the Bears want to obviously do their homework on all these edge prospects, but if they feel that this is a guy that maybe is obviously a difference maker that can help not have every single double team and triple team on Khalil Mack, that's going to, you know, be very well for this football team, because the Bears didn't have a lot of sacks last year, and they obviously need help there. But they do have 45 formal meetings that they have, lower than last year, but still it is interesting that they did use one in a guy that is completely out of their range.
Right. I understand he may want to exhaust all options and maybe, you know, have what, you know, not worst case scenarios, maybe best case scenarios. Yeah. Like, hey, best case, somehow this guy falls or we have an opportunity to trade up somehow. Mm-hmm. I understand why you want to keep all your options at least open. But yeah, to use a formal interview in a guy that doesn't seem that will be on the board, you know, anywhere close to the team, is interesting. It could be telling. It could just be nothing. Yeah. That's the NFL Combine for you in a nutshell. Looking here for me, Julian Aquara, the edge guy out of Notre Dame, 13 sacks his last 2 seasons, 5 last year. But remember, he only played 9 games after breaking his fibula. And speaking of that injury, you know, he's been out rehabbing for some time, and he's calling the injury minor. He's never been hurt before. It was just a broken bone in his leg. So he's pretty adamant that it's not going to be a red flag or an issue for him whatsoever. But he says it's actually allowed him to actually grow and love the game of football more, because he realized how much he misses it, mm-hmm. which in turn shows him how much it means to him. And his brother, I mean, it runs in the family. His brother, he plays for the Lions, and he actually was saying how cool it would be to either play with or against his brother. And, of course, if he got here in Chicago, he can do that twice a year, which is, of course, a very interesting thing as well. He was born in London, raised in Nigeria. He moved to the United States in 3rd grade. He said that his parents, they taught him a lot, including that, you know, hard work, it comes with a lot of sacrifice. And due to that kind of mantra and mindset, he does hold himself to a high standard, but he knows that believes in himself that he's built for the NFL. This is what he's meant to do, and he's excited for this journey. I actually stopped at his podium because of the buzzword that you had too, Chicago. Mm-hmm. He wasn't talking about the Bears specifically. He was just talking about how much he likes that city. He likes Chicago guys, a Chicago attitude. I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to talk up a little bit, knowing that the Bears personnel may be checking in on this interview as well. It was a little crazy at his podium. I was probably 8-9 rows back, so unable to get a question out if he met with the team or not. But, of course, talking up the city of Chicago is always great. But, again, that injury, he's learning how to rehab right now, and he said even though his process is probably a little bit slower than some of the other guys that are here doing the full athletic tests and getting grades, his process is a little bit longer, a little bit slower, but he's trusting the process and he's okay with that process. So he's having a little bit of patience here. In terms of who he is as a player, he mentioned that he has a power mindset. He lifts the bully offensive lineman, and his goal on each and every down is to get that offensive lineman right into the lap of a quarterback, and that's what he loves to do the most. And I know at Notre Dame he was asked to do a lot of different things, but rushing the passer is his top priority and his favorite thing to do as well. But he's someone that the Bears could look into at the second round that should be available or has a good chance of being available as well. How about you, Nick? Do you have any other players? I think you mentioned that you may have one or two.
Yeah, so just I mentioned him earlier, Yader Gross-Matos out of Penn State. The Bears didn't meet formally with. Just some, I guess, interesting tidbits from him. He does model his game after Jason Pierre-Paul, a guy that he's watched. He grew up a Giants fan. And then I think one of the reporters asked him, what would it be like to play for the Cowboys? Like, you know, back then I would have hated it, but of course I'm open to going anywhere. Whoever drafts me is going to love playing there. He was also asked who was the toughest player that he played against, and I guess this is all for any of the Iowa fans that watch his, and listen to his podcast, Nate Stanley, the quarterback there. He said, regardless of how hard I hit him, he just kept getting back up. So, again, shows who Nate Stanley is as a quarterback. He also really likes Bradley Chubb, who was drafted, obviously, not number one pick, but first couple picks a couple years ago now. And having a guy like him, just watching his tape, he's just an athletic freak. 6'5", I think 260, 264. You could see that he knows how to get to the quarterback using inside rush moves. And, again, the Bears did their homework on him, met with him just to get a little bit of a better understanding. And I think that's just been the common theme from this day, Will. We've seen the Bears just do their homework on these edge prospects because they know it's something they need to address for the 2020 season.
Anything else you need to say about, you have another prospect? I just want to make sure because my list is pretty wiped out here. So just wanted to make sure that if you had another one, I can give you the floor to do so.
And I do have one more. I met with him for maybe about 2 minutes just because it's I was with Jonathan Grenard just getting his answers. But Jabari Zuniga is actually Grenard's teammate, the opposite edge rusher. The Bears did meet with him informally, and I just asked him, what was it like you and Grenard being, you know, on that same pass rushing front seven there? He's like, well, when you have a dog on the other side, it just makes your job a lot easier. And I asked him, competition, is there any, like, competition? Who's going to get to the quarterback first? He's like, oh, absolutely. That happens all the time. It's like, who's going to get there first? So the Bears did, again, meet with him informally. But that's about it, Will, when it comes to edge rushing prospects.
My gut after everything that we heard today and all the information that we found out about the Bears either meeting with a handful of these, you know, players formally and another handful informally, I mean, there's almost a good 10 different edge prospects that the Bears have. I think it's a little less than 10, but a good large number, more than any other position that we've so far been able to kind of address. Taking that confidence level or expectation level 1 to 10, the Bears drafting an edge guy in this draft.
Oh, it's got to be about an 8 or a 9. I think they are drafting an edge prospect. I don't know if it's going to be that first pick in the second round, but there will be someone else new drafted, not through free agency. The Bears are definitely drafting somebody.
Yeah, 8 or 9 sounds about right. I'm glad he didn't say 10. Then we would have jinxed it.
Yeah.
So we're pretty safe here. I think we all want the Bears to draft someone along the edge. We all know we need a little bit of infusion there. That's whether or not, you know, Leonard Floyd stays or goes, it doesn't matter. They need to find a way to continue to address this position, to get Khalil Mack the help that he needs, a counterpart that he needs to, you know, fully thrive in this defense and really kind of fully unleash all of his potential. All right, Nick, any final thoughts from today at all or anything you're looking forward to tomorrow from the DBs?
So I think with the DBs, when we look at it, especially with Prince Amukamara not being here anymore, cornerback could definitely be one of the positions that the Bears really look into drafting. I don't know if it's going to be that second-round pick, but it's definitely one to look into. And also at safety, the only guy that's officially under contract is Eddie Jackson, I think one of the practice squad players. But it's not a guaranteed position for the Bears, so they're probably doing their homework at in the secondary right now.
We'll see how many, you know, interviews that we can find out, you know, formal or informal tomorrow as well when it comes to the defensive backs. Like you said, corner can definitely be in play. Safety feels like it should be in play right now. I mean, free agency can change that, but as the team sits right now, you have to be looking at some of these options. But looking at tomorrow, it looks like you're going to have a pretty early flight and a pretty interesting flight, huh?
Yes, and I actually can't disclose that information, but we're going to see right now. It might be a shorter day for me, which is unfortunate, but we'll get a lot of work done in the meantime.
So even though you can't disclose information, if you take said photo, then you get to disclose said information?
Absolutely.
Okay, check on Nick's Twitter here probably Friday night to see how that works out. Good thing I didn't say it. We would have had to cut this episode up. And I was actually proud of us because we've been able to do it all one take, which we always do, but with some distractions and people walking by, so I always feel a little bit more proud to be able to kind of take care of that one as well. But I want to thank everyone for tuning into the show. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. I know I say it on every episode, but we really do mean it. And if you appreciate us, please make sure to take a moment just to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. That helps us reach our goal of 600 before a training camp, and of course helps us reach more and more Bears fans. We don't have marketing dollars, we have you, so word of mouth is all we have, so please help us out if you can. We just have one more day to go here in Indianapolis, and we'll talk to you soon. But until then, bear down, Chicago.